You are listening to 95 to 1, 1080 AM KYMN Radio, emanating out of Northfield, Minnesota, live streaming on KYMNRadio.net. This is On Tap with Corey and Ira. I'm Corey Butler.
And I'm Ira Carlson.
And we join you every other week here on 95 to 1 to talk about Southern Minnesota breweries and beer. Ira, what are we talking about today?
Well, for the beers of the week, we got a couple of fun offerings in from Firehouse Liquor, which we'll be talking about in a little bit. Our style of the week is kind of a different one that most people are probably not going to be expecting. Cristal, so it's kind of fun to hear about that one.
Cristal?
Yeah, Cristal.
I'm going to have to stick around to learn about that.
And then, of course, we had a great interview with the three gentlemen from Euphoric Brewing out of Blakely. Kind of a fun, different group of brewers compared to some of the ones we talked to.
Yeah, Jeff, Dave, and Kurt, a couple three guys, good guys. I had a fun chat with them. Definitely a different concept they got going there. A lot of homemade equipment. They've got a lot of beers on tap. They're kind of off the beaten path a little bit. It's kind of a cool place. We've both been there, and we encourage you to go check them out, but make sure you listen to our show first so you know what to expect, right, Ira?
Oh, yeah, of course.
And the place not off the beaten path is Imminent Brewing, conveniently located three blocks from the studio here in lovely downtown Northfield. We both had a chance to get there recently. What'd you think, Ira?
Oh, I absolutely loved it. I mean, we both got invited about a week ago to the soft opening, so we got to get in there and get a little sneak peek early. Had a couple of beers that time around, had their IPA, but the one I kind of fell in love with was their Little R&R Ale. It's their wheat ale, but they have infused it with raspberry and rhubarb. And I know you're more of the tropical fruit guy, but this was actually ended up being a very nice beer, especially on a hot day like that was. And they're locally sourcing it. Lawrence's Berry Farm for the raspberries, Springwind Farm for the rhubarb. It was really good, a very tasty beer. And then, of course, hitting the grand opening. A lot busier, a little harder to focus when you're there. Sure. But I'm so excited for them. I love it. They're within easy walking distance of my house. It's a great place, and I'm so excited. Derek, Laura, Randy, Tanya, they've been such great hosts whenever you get there. I'm really looking forward to this one, and I really feel like Randy's kind of hitting some good beers out right from the start, which we haven't seen from some breweries when they first open.
Yeah, he definitely hit the ground running. All the beer was good at the soft opening. The beer since that's come out has been really good. I mean, he's put out a number of beers, a great variety of beers. I mean, you hit on the R&R. That was good. IPA usually hits it well for some people. One beer that stuck out to me that I really liked was their Well Grounded. It's a specialty beer, so it's not going to be on a long time, so make sure you get in there soon. But it's a porter. I think they use their porter as a base, but it's on nitrogen, which is a different gas that's used to have the beer carbonated, but then also has cold press and a shot of espresso. So it kind of has the kick, and it's got the good strong coffee flavor. And, you know, depending on who you are, maybe one is probably good enough, but I had two because, you know, I'm a special guy.
Yeah.
So check those guys out. They opened last weekend. Again, we are lucky. We have this show, and we have two breweries in town. As you'll hear later on, we're going to about to have three just down the road.
And if we're making you thirsty talking about it, they're open right now. You can head on down there. They got food trucks, music, a lot of fun things going on this weekend. So,
well, hey, let's not send them off quite yet. maybe go in about 25 minutes, 30 minutes.
You wear your headphones in, you know, you just take it off just briefly, you know, to order your beer, but they are open.
And you could, because you can stream this on KYMNRadio.net or on the TuneIn Radio app. And if you want to do that, that's fine. Otherwise, sit by your radio dial. We have a good show coming up.
And now it's time for Beers of the Week, brought to us by Firehouse Liquor of Dundas. Our first offering this week, I love this one. This is coming out of Salt Lake City, Squatters Craft Beer. We got their Hop Rising. It's a double IPA, you know, the double India Pale Ale. It's their Imperial. Really nice. It's coming in at 9% with a 72 IBU, but this thing has a really nice flavor. It's hoppy. It's definitely been dry hopped, but it's not overly hoppy. This thing tastes really good, goes down smoothly. This is a great beer. I'm really glad that Sean at Firehouse sent this one over because I'm really enjoying this one.
Yeah, I'm also a fan of this. I've actually bought this on my own time, my own dime. don't always have to rely on Sean for some beer, but this is a good one. I definitely endorse it. You alluded to the hop. Obviously, as a double IPA, a lot of those tend to be hoppier, but this has a good malty backbone, balances out well. It's a very smooth beer. It's one I definitely have had and enjoy quite a bit, and I would recommend it to anybody.
Yeah, well balanced.
And our other offering this week is Dogfish Head, which is a recently reintroduced brewery to Minnesota, so yay for that. We've got Namaste White, a Belgian-style wit beer, and it's too good not to read this, so I'm just going to read it right off the label. Our Belgian-style white ale brewed with dried organic orange flesh and peel, fresh-cut lemongrass, a bit of coriander, peppercorns, and a healthy dose of good karma. Let me take a sip here. Tastes like it should. I'm not a huge Belgian wit fan, but this tastes like it should. You know, I can't detect the coriander, the peppercorn, and lemongrass, but overall it's a very solid beer. Tastes like a Belgian wit with maybe a little spice in there, like I'm assuming what some of these things are supposed to taste like. It's a good beer. What do you think, Ira?
Well, I was actually going to say that I really am picking up the coriander and just a little bit of that pepper in it because it does have that little spicy bite to it. It's definitely a very nice light beer, but it does come in with a little bit of spice at the end there, but still very tasty, enjoyable. And if you like these two beers or any of our other beers that we've offered over the last several episodes, you can find them at Firehouse Liquor in Dundas. Tell them that Corey and Ira sent you that way.
Look for the fire truck. All right, now we're joined by the boys from Euphoric Brewing. We've got Jeff, Dave, and Kurt in studio. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Yeah, wonderful.
Appreciate you guys taking the long drive from where you came from. I don't want to spoil it, so we'll ask you.
Blakely,
Minnesota. Now people are going to ask, where's Blakely?
Blakely is 4 miles south of Belle Plaine.
There's some people who may not know where Belle Plaine is.
Yeah, that's true.
It's about an hour west.
We usually say, typically, if you know where Shakopee is, which most people know where Shakopee is, we always say we're about a half hour south of Shakopee off 169.
And that's Jeff talking, one of the co-owners. All three of you are co-owners, correct?
Yep.
And can you tell me about Euphoric, how long you guys been open, and kind of what your MO is?
We opened up the doors January 29th of 2016. That's when we actually opened up the tap room. So we've been up and running for close to a year and a half. Things are going pretty well. Definitely very busy brewing, trying to keep up with stuff. As a lot of people know, we do have quite a few beers on tap, so that's kind of a juggling act, trying to keep everything going, keep all the taps full and everything else. So,
yeah, demand's always got to be a challenge, I'm sure, especially after you build kind of a reputation after a year and a half. But yep. Before you got to this point, you had the decision to open a brewery. Why did you guys want to get together and put together a brewery?
Homebrewers, to start. Been homebrewing since 1989. And basically thought, I wished right out of high school, I graduated in 83. Kurt and I both graduated in 83, same class. And I wish I would have known back then that I actually had an interest in brewing, because I would have went to Germany, I think, or something.
Sure.
Maybe learn how to do some brewing over there. But
German's hard to learn, though.
Yeah, well, Dave's got
language,
it down,
not
I think.
Beer.
Oh, yeah.
Beer is a universal language, though.
Yes. So you guys came together. Obviously, Dave is your brother, so you knew him a while. Kurt, you graduated with. But how'd this idea kind of percolate?
Well, we started brewing our first batch. All three of us did the first beer together. And then I worked for both of these guys before, and we just got together and just started doing it.
Saw there was an opportunity.
Yep.
Obviously, there's a need over by where you guys live. I think I had read that, Dave, maybe you had an opportunity before this that maybe didn't come together, so you're obviously interested in putting together a brewery.
Yeah, well, I have been in the past, kind of an interest, you know, because from way back when they when I started home brewing with Jeff and Kurt, Jeff had to step aside because of Patrick and everything, but I continued on joining the club, the Minnesota Homebrewers. Mm-hmm. And we had a good relationship with the breweries in Minneapolis and St. Paul, and even down in New Ulm there was Shells too and stuff, and took us in on the tour. And yeah, just fascination with equipment and knowing, you know, what we can, what I can do to make beer and everything else. And it's just kind of all part of just how the brewery, you know, just kind of like the inspiration of a brewery. And knowing that you can make your own beer and I guess, you know, once you really really get that down to a niche, to where it's really a passion, mm-hmm. it's more of enjoyment to see people enjoying it too.
I wasn't saying you got to take a lot of pride and be able to build something with your hands.
It does.
You know, create something with your hands rather, and then see people enjoy it in your own space. I mean, it's got to be pretty rewarding.
It is.
So tell me about Blakely. Why'd you guys end up going to Blakely?
Well, Blakely, originally we were actually looking around Jordan, the Jordan area, because we're all originally from Jordan. So mm-hmm. we thought it'd be a good place to start looking for a building and stuff. We just couldn't find anything that was affordable or big enough. A lot of people said, oh, you should put it in the Jordan Brewery. Well, it's like, well, the Jordan, for our vision and everything, the Jordan Brewery would not have been big enough, and it's not very conducive of high production because it's so chopped up, plus it's just not enough space.
Is that the one that got affected by the mudslide?
Yeah.
The one that Tim Rhodes is
We actually grew up just down the road a little ways from that. There's a little road that veers off when you're heading north or south on 169 or 21 out of Jordan. And we used to live right down on Broadway. And I used to walk past that brewery every day on my way to school. I used to go to school at the Catholic school, St. John's.
Did you stop in occasionally?
No. Oh, yeah, actually.
Catholic school.
Yeah, we used to go in that brewery as kids and do a lot of basically.
Horsing around.
Yeah, horsing around in there and just, you know. Doing things that kids shouldn't be doing, I suppose.
kept the Jordan Police Department busy.
We used to tear the cork linings out of the cave area and stuff by the doorways, and we used to float down Sand Creek on that cork. And we'd get so far, and then we'd just let it go. The raft would just keep on going.
It's a rescue mission at that point.
Yep.
I grew up in a small town. I understand the you find your own amusement, unfortunately, for some people or the businesses around you. But
so, obviously, with kind of a three-headed monster here, how do you guys run the brewery? Who plays what role? And do you all commit full-time to this? I know a lot of breweries, you know, it's kind of a side gig, and you kind of make it work because you still need to have, you know, another job. How's it set up for you guys?
Well, I've been pretty much full-time for the last couple of years. Just because it just needs that much attention. Mm-hmm. And I do the brewing, scheduling of, you know, picking up ingredients and also scheduling for distribution and also taproom stuff and then, of course, repairs and whatever else needs to be done. And Kurt.
Jeff of all trades, right?
Yeah, Kurt's kind of our support. He takes care of all the stuff that needs to be finished and stuff. Like when I'm brewing and stuff, Kurt'll get everything ready, fermenters cleaned and everything ready to fill and all that type of stuff, sanitation and Dave and also Kurt as far as tap room and stuff, he comes in and helps out with all that and then Dave does tap room too on Saturdays. He comes in and helps with that and also Dave kind of is our design guru as far as when we got a system that needs to be built or something like that, like our cooling system for our fermenters and everything. Dave pretty much put that whole thing together and built the panel for it and all that. So he's very good at figuring that type of stuff out.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that. We were talking a little bit before the show that you guys kind of have some homemade equipment that you use. Can you talk a little bit about that process, how that works? I mean, we don't need to go too deep because most people listening aren't going to understand a lot of the brew house stuff anyway, but
right.
How does it differ from something you might order in from Washington or China or somewhere else?
Well, it's a budget.
Well, and pride, right? You put it, make it.
Yeah, I mean, that's just it. We
the kinda, function's the same.
Yeah, right.
We create spirit the same, right?
We call ourselves an 80s brewery, mainly because back in the 80s, that's what was happening over in Wisconsin. There's a lot of dairy farms that went out, and so they repurposed their equipment to make beer. So that's why Wisconsin got to be such a big brewing state is because these guys were looking for a way to make a living, and they thought, well, you know, we can take this stuff and revamp it, and we can make beer with it, and we start on with a new life. Well, we kind of have that in us, too, as far as we see what can be done out there, and so we're like, well, why should we pay this, you know, enormous amount of money for this equipment when we can take stuff? If you understand the principle and you know the science behind it, and you also have the ability, the mechanical and, you know, electrical and refrigeration type stuff, you can pretty much do it yourself. So that's kind of where we're at with everything.
Yeah, I meant as a compliment. I think it's kind of neat that you guys kind of did it from the ground up and put it together. And again, in the end, as long as the product is good and turns out well, who cares how it's made?
That's right.
Or how, what's used to make it.
Yeah, you got to have an understanding of how the beer is made and what works and what doesn't work. And so that kind of goes into designing on your equipment and find something that's kind of suitable for that, you know, scenario, for that situation. And then you can make it work.
Let's talk a little bit about the beer. Jeff, you talked about having quite a few beers on and trying to keep up with pace, but let's start with the beer that we're sipping on here.
All right, this is a color Orange Horizon. It's a Belgian wit style beer, so it's brewed, obviously, being that's a Belgian wit, coriander, and also orange peel, and wheat, and it's a very flavorful beer. It's kind of one of my favorites around this time of the year. We started brewing it last spring, kept it on all summer, and then we went to take it away in the fall, and nobody was having it. They were like... They said, you got to brew that beer again. Sure. And we're like, okay, so it's turned from a seasonal to a full-time beer now, so we just keep it on tap now.
Yeah, it's good. So, if we were outside, it might even be just a tad better since it's a little steamy out right now.
Yep.
No, I've been really enjoying all the summer beers lately coming out of all the different local breweries, just because it seems like even within the last 2 years, just the local breweries have just brought back styles that some people don't even think about or talk about, and, you know. This is a perfect example of this. This is something my wife would happily sit on the deck and enjoy drinking. So,
yeah, the influx of breweries definitely has shown a light on a lot of different styles that maybe have been neglected.
Yeah, I mean,
for a long time.
Yeah, you're right.
Corey and I both talk about it. Neither one of us are anywhere near being beer experts. We're beer enthusiasts.
Right.
I'm not even going to put myself that high. I'm a consumer.
But at the same time, a couple years ago, I had no idea what a Kolsch was. And it took took a brewer to show me the light, and all of a sudden I'm like, I look for a Kolsch right now. You know, if it's an 85 degree day outside, 90 degree day, if I see a Kolsch on the menu, I'm going to give it a shot. You know, as much as I'm an IPA lover during the wintertime, a Kolsch during the summer, yes, please.
Yes, right.
And this is another perfect example of a subtle light orange, but really nice flavor. It's a great beer.
Crisp, clean, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you got this as one of your core beers. What else you guys slinging out there?
We have a pretty wide selection from all the way from...
That was a positive
laugh. Yeah, as light as our cream ale, all the way up to the big bad...
Booty Daddy.
Yeah, the big bad Irish stout, or Irish stout, the big bad
Imperial stout.
Excuse me.
I had that. It was good.
Yeah, and that's a really tasty beer. It's, you know, it's actually produced with coffee and vanilla bean and also oatmeal. And the coffee we actually pick up locally from Lee Center from European Roasteries. So it's pretty good coffee that we use in
that. It's not Folgers.
It's not Folgers.
Hill Brothers? No.
So... Yeah, so we span the whole deal, and Kurt will tell you, he was just taking count today to see how many beers and stuff that we have on tap currently. So, Kurt, I'll let you tell us.
Yeah, we have 18 beers on tap right now, and we have two hard ciders and one root beer we make our own, root beer, too. So, and that comes from honey comes from Henderson.
Okay.
Yeah, so, from the Hutterites.
Now, is there a different... licensing or requirements for the ciders? I mean, are they technically beers? They're just like 50% malt.
You have to have some malt, you know, with it, so to make it an actual complete.
But you're doing the ciders yourself, or the okay? I didn't know if those were guest taps or okay.
What's the method behind having so many beers on tap? Such a wide swath of beers available. Just you like to have fun and see what comes out.
Yeah,
of it,
well, we're home brewers for a very long time, and of course, you dabble with everything, and I myself get tired of things very quickly, and so I'm always changing it up. Beers is one of those things where I don't always like to drink the same beer all the time. I mean, who can eat spaghetti every night for supper? I mean, you got to change it up. So it's like, so I love spaghetti, but not every night. Sure. And so I like certain beers at certain times, and I like to change it up. And so we come up with a whole bunch of different things. And when we put our tap room together, we thought about it. We thought we have so doggone many recipes and stuff like that. In order to be able to feature them, it's going to take a number of taps to be able to do that, you know, within a reasonable amount of time. So what we decided to do is, originally I think we were going to do 16 or 18 taps, and after that we decided, we bumped it up to 24. So we're just about full. I think we've got about, you know, 4 or 5 more beers, which we've got some new ones coming. We are producing a Kolsch, one of Dave's recipes. A lot of the like German style beers and stuff are Dave's. So, which he's got that dialed in pretty well.
It's a finesse.
So with 3 brewers, do each of you have kind of your own wheelhouse? You know, so you just said Dave's German. Do each of you have a style or Dave's a flavor that German, you kind of bring?
Yep. Dave is more German style lagers and those type of things. He does very well with ales as well. He's got some really nice IPAs and stuff like that as well. But his stuff is, he's got the German stuff dialed in, so that's why we kind of keep working on that, like the Pilsner and our Bock Oktoberfest. We got a red Vienna red lager. Those are all Dave's recipes and stuff.
Yeah, it takes quite a bit to do a German lager because it's just a fine, a delicate beer that you can easily miss. You get the flaws will show up more, and that than what with an ale.
Yeah, you can't have anything.
It's a challenge. It's a challenge. I've been through a lot, you know, to make it better and perfect it and everything else with judges and competitions and everything. So, yeah, that's a, once you have it, it's an art.
Are those your favorite beers to brew then because they're challenging?
Yeah, it is. I think it is.
They're not mine.
Jeff has a hard time making.
I'm the ale brewer, but I
throw some hops.
But they're Dave's recipes. We got to brew them, so I brew them. But yeah. as a brewer, I prefer to brew ales. I think any brewer will probably tell you that.
Well, it's less time to turn around, and you can drink them quicker, right?
Yeah, right.
So are you a fan of the big hop bombs then? Is that what you like to throw together, or a more subtle ale?
I like the more subtle. I'm not a huge hop bomb drinker. I mean, most people come down to the brewery. We know our area. We know our market.
Give us your hoppy beer.
Some people come down and they're a little disappointed because we don't have anything that's overly hoppy. But it's just our area. I mean, we know that beer will sit unless we get people coming down, you know, from Minneapolis or whatever. There's, you know, that group up there does like the hoppier beers. But down where we're at, that beer will sit. We can't really sell it. So, we chose to do more palatable beers to average beer drinkers, and that's working for us. Although not to say we won't come out with a couple hop bombs just to have them on tap for the people that do drink it, and we will at some point. Like I said, we have 24 taps and we've got some open space, so
you've got work to do then.
You might have room for one or two.
Yeah, what the hell are you guys doing here? You should be brewing right now.
Just did yesterday.
Well, I was going to ask, too, what the response has been, the reception in the last 18 months from the locals. Sounds like you've kind of found what resonates with them, with the more subtle, flavorful, balanced beers. And then how does that contrast to the people who do come down, who are now taking a swing down to Belle Plaine, Blakely area, which is, I know, so far away from the cities, but just down the road. Now you've got Jordan opening, or is open now, Roats. And then you've got Badger Hill and Shakopee. So people are probably taking the loop now.
Yeah, they are.
Checking you out. I mean, do you see a contrast between your locals and the city dwellers?
Usually when it's somebody that's been around to different breweries, because they're ordering stuff like Tolling Bell, which is our Belgian triple, and they're ordering like the Russian Imperial Stout, Two-Step Viper. And those are the types of things that kind of tell you. And then we generally ask everybody where they're from, and they'll tell us, well, we're from, you know, the cities or
they're not there to mess around.
Yeah.
Give us the big stuff, right?
So it's like, Yeah, but like I said, we try to not create something that isn't too style. I mean, we don't try to soften our beers to a point where so anybody can drink them and they all taste the same. We try to choose beers that are that style that are very palatable to people. So it's kind of how we're doing things right now.
And you've got a good local crowd that comes in? You got a lot of regulars?
Yes, we do. We have a lot of people around our area that are very happy that we are where we're at. We have a lot of people say, thank you for doing this down here. You know, they get it. You know, it's like, it's Blakely. I mean, Blakely is, there's nothing in Blakely.
About 12 and people, right?
People don't want to drive like 15, 20 miles to go somewhere to, you know, especially like a brewery or something like that. They will do it, but they prefer to just drive 3 miles. Sure. So for that, we get a lot of support from the locals. We get a lot of people from the Mankato area that come up. You got to remember, for us, where we're at, we drive to Minneapolis, St. Paul to go do something different, while a lot of people in Mankato are driving up to us because it's about the same distance. Mm-hmm. And so for us, we're like Minneapolis, I guess. So, I mean, mini Minneapolis.
Yeah, there you go.
They're driving somewhere different, you know, to get something different. So.
Does that make Jordan St. Paul then?
No. Yep.
what I think is cool, given that you guys are in Blakely and you're in kind of the country, that if we ever get snow again, people can just ride their sleds right up to your facility, right?
Yes, we have that. In fact, we have side-by-side traffic. We had, I think it was about 16 that came through one time, and nice. They all parked in the grass and came in. We have horse traffic, and we have farm tractor and hay wagon traffic. And
we got a wide entry. We can get in there, right?
And bicycles.
Yep, bicycles. They come, whatever carries them, or even their legs, they'll come.
How many families show up with their kids loaded with candy from the candy store to put them through the number
of people, yeah. You know, either they're stopping, you know, afterwards to eat supper and, you know, have a couple beers, or maybe it's early afternoon and they swing by, they hit a couple beers, and then they head back north and swing by the candy store.
I feel like that's an idea for a collaboration beer. You hook up with the Jordan candy store and do some beer for the adults, the parents, not the kids, but, you know.
I don't know. I'm just picturing way too sweet of a beer already.
You know, you get candy corn beers and stuff like that.
I know Corey will probably ask this, but you brought up dinner. You have a lot of collaboration with food trucks. Tell us a little more about that.
Yes, we do. We try to have food trucks there every Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Doesn't always work out. Sometimes there's, you know, schedule conflicts and stuff, and we can't get a truck down there or something, but for the most part, we do. And we do have, through the winters and stuff, we do have Wing King, which basically stays with us through the winter. So they make phenomenal wings. And also his winter schedule that he runs, his menu, he does these awesome hamburgers. And they're huge. I mean,
they're half pounders.
I told him he's got to cut them down a little bit because he's filling up the people and they don't want to drink any more beer. So.
I don't know. Nobody's proved that beer and wings work yet well together yet, but, you know, we'll see.
I'm with you. I used to do it in college all the time. Like, this doesn't seem like they pair well. I don't know. Like, they both fill me up. I like them individually, but. Yeah, I was there this past winter, and I stopped and had some wings and beer. But the wings did fill me up, so I didn't have that much beer. No, just joking. They're big wings. Hopping back to the beer, I want to hear about what your guys' favorite beers are to drink there. Obviously, we know about what kind of your wheelhouse is for brewing, but. What's your favorite beer on tap right now, and what's your favorite beer you guys have made since opening back in January 2016?
I'll let you start, Dave.
Pressure's on now.
well,
you probably only have brewed like 48 beers at this point, right?
Yeah, no, they're all good. All you good. Know, it depends on your mood or the day or sure, what it is.
Like, and
if it's hot and muggy day, I like the Pilsner. Pilsner's a nice beer. It's a nice thirst-quenching beer.
Sure.
And
you're safe to have a few.
Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah, you could. And as far as, you know, cold days, I like that Russian Imperial Stout, or even my porter is good.
Warm
up. Dave's crazy-ass chocolate milk porter. We just actually just transferred that to Braid again, so that will be back on tap again, too. So,
For July?
That's another one of those, I can't believe that people want...
Year-round, huh?
Want that thing year-round, because it's filling. And but we have people that want it, so they're asking. They want to buy growlers of it and stuff, be able to take it up to their cabins and everything else. So it's a different crowd out there nowadays than I think it used to be.
Now, you guys are an agent of change, sounds like.
Is there a beer you've brewed that you were actually really surprised at how well it took off? Like, you went, you didn't think it was going to be that good, and it was the one that just blew you away that was surprised at the response?
Yeah, I'd have to say that would be the Grass Skirt. I personally, myself, don't care for it that much. I mean, I'm a one-and-done kind of guy. I'm ready to move on to something else. So, but it's... it's a good beer. But it's kind of a tropical, it has tropical notes. It actually has pineapple kind of up front, which is a blend of the hops, and then it has a coconut finish on it, which is produced in for secondary fermentation that we add coconut to it.
And it's one you have on tap now?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a year-round beer. It's another one of those beers that we would get killed if we took it off. But
it's not your other growler beer, is it?
It's not my cup of tea, really, and I hear that from a lot of people, and it isn't. I mean, I could drink probably one glass, and then I'm okay. I'm ready to move on. But there's a lot of people that drink that beer all the time.
I do it to them every time. But speaking of seasonals, you don't brew a pumpkin beer, though. Please tell me you don't do that.
He
loves them. I don't.
We haven't professionally yet, but as a home brewer, I have a killer one, and it's not all overspiced. You can actually taste the pumpkin in it.
Okay.
So that's kind of where I'm at with that. Maybe this year we'll...
I'm going to bring you a couple beers here come...
We're going to have a huge fight come October, because he's going to make me drink them, and I'm not sure if I'm going to be ready for it.
They'll be in market in August, but we'll wait till October. There's the true pumpkin beer, and there's the spiced ones, and the spiced ones can be good, but a lot of them are just overly spiced, and they're pretty sweet. But I've got a couple in mind I will bring, and we can do a blind test on them. Kurt, don't want to miss you on this one. What was your favorite beer that you guys have had?
I guess the car show for me is probably, it's just basic ale, and that one, a lot of people do like it, and we have it in most of the bars we serve right now, so... that's the one I prefer.
So you guys do have some accounts then out beyond the tap room?
Yeah, we're with Locker Brothers distributor, and we're in about 40 different bars now the southwest of the cities.
So kind of the Scott County region, Jordan? Or
no, it goes from, I don't know,
southwest part of Minnesota.
Yeah. Oh, southwest Minnesota.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And then all the way up. Right up by Hutchinson, I believe.
Okay, wow.
Now, I don't want to put my foot in my mouth, but I believe I've seen you. Have you been at Fielder's here in town? Fielder's Tap and Choice?
I can't say that you may have, but I don't know. Half the time, I don't know where our beers are being plugged in. I do get a list sometimes that shows who's carrying what. But
okay. They have 36 on. 36, right? Yeah. I believe 36 on tap, and I believe I've seen it there, but I don't remember specifically. But
do you guys work with a distributor, or do you self-distribution?
We have Locker Brothers. That's our distributor.
Oh, you did say that. Okay, yep. I'm sorry.
Now, are you doing any cans or bottles as well, or just kegs right now?
On a bottling line right now. We have a rotary filler that we're trying to get up and running. It's taking us some time to do that. It's between normal operations and trying to take on another project like that. It's been very challenging. So, but we are trying to put a little more emphasis on that, try to get it done, because we know that, you know, we need to get our beers out on the shelves and stuff, and for locals, and, you know, ship some stuff up to the cities and everything else.
So packaging, what, 12-ounce bottles?
Like, yeah,
we'll do 6 12, packs, something like
12
that.
12-ounce long necks.
Okay.
And you've chose to go that route over using a third party just to have complete control, or?
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like, you know, every time you have do your contract work and stuff like that, of course, takes a piece of the pie away from you and everything else. So we try to, you know, control as much of that as possible. That's why we build a lot of our own stuff and everything else, because, you know, it's just whatever you can do it yourself, that's going to be feather in your hat. So.
Well, it's been interesting. We've talked to multiple different people, and each place kind of has their own story. Some think it's the greatest thing in the world working with a third party. Others, it's been an absolute horrendous thing. They don't show up on time. Equipment's broken. You know, it really kind of depends on the group. And so I like asking the question just because of where's the pain point, what is the decision to, you know, do in-house So,
yeah, we're just, yeah, we just like to be able to have, I guess, like you said, be able to control everything that's going on around us, so we know, you know, where everything's at.
Get your hands dirty, have control. Yeah,
I mean, we're
do it yourself kind of guys.
Yeah, we get help with things. I mean, I'm not saying we do everything all ourselves. We get consult from people and stuff like that, and sometimes we get volunteers that want to help us out or whatever. They come in and they'll help us out, you know, with certain things, projects and stuff that come up out. But
this almost has to be a blessing over homebrewing, because you don't have to re-sterilize the bottles and everything from the last time you used them.
Yeah.
Well, actually, the biggest complaint I've always had with working with homebrewing is like you have to go back through and re-clean all the bottles and do everything.
That was the thing. That's actually what got me out of homebrewing altogether. Is I hated the bottles. That was back before corny kegs came available, and Dave kind of kept in the brewing, homebrewing and stuff. And I got out. I was like tired of the bottles. It's got to be something better. So I started buying imported beers and stuff at the liquor store, and that was kind of how I was getting my fix.
Yeah.
So then
it's a familiar tale.
So then Dave told me, he says, "Yeah, we can start using these kegs now." And I said, "Kegs?" And he goes, "Yeah, they'll pop kegs." He says, "You can open them up, clean them, and fill them, and carbonate them, and everything else." And I said, "Okay, I'm back in." So
take me in. You had mentioned the Kolsch is coming up. Anything else you guys have coming up here this summer, maybe into the fall, that you're looking at?
Yeah, actually, we're going to be producing a couple different styles of beers. We're actually going to be doing a pepper beer.
Yes.
As well.
I've been asking everyone for that. We're going to do a chili beer for me.
Yeah. That actually, we've got... I'm not a huge fan of the pepper beers because I'm just... I don't know. I get... As a kid and stuff like that, I didn't really care too much for
punishment peppery
stuff.
What?
Although, yeah. I guess maybe that was it. But no, actually, I love Mexican food. Some stuff is a little too hot for me, but for the most part. But I do want to do a beer. And so we're going to do a sriracha beer.
Okay.
So it'll be very tasty. It's actually a friend of mine that has the recipe, and he brought me a sample of it in, and I tried it, and I didn't think I was going to like it. But, I like the taste of sriracha, but I just don't like a huge burn.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like I decided that... let's brew this thing. So we're going to be doing that in the near future. So you can be looking for that to be taking up some space on our taps.
Yeah, chili beers are probably not a beer that you're going to sit and have three or four. Yeah. One, no. Maybe two if you're pushing your luck.
And that's the thing about this one. This one you actually could, because you get the nice sriracha taste, but you don't get a huge burn off of it. So it's a very nice beer. So I'm looking forward to that one.
You'd mentioned the grass skirt beer. And it just made me think of it because you brought up chili. Is there what would you say is the beer that you brewed that was most out there? Something that was maybe an unusual ingredient, and maybe that was it, or just maybe you didn't think it was going to come together because there's competing, flavors or.
I'd have to say, Hop Yard 46 is probably one of those. It didn't turn out the way I wanted it to turn out. It turned out to be a very nice beer. It was kind of one of those beers. It wasn't supposed to be of like a Scottish taste, but it actually turned out like a Scottish ale. So I'm like, well, I guess if that's what it's going to taste like, that's what we're going to run with. So,
okay.
I was supposed to be one of, a lot hoppier beer, but it wasn't, but it was, it was a very nice, easy drinking beer. It was very, I guess, caramely up front and stuff.
Do you guys have any big events coming up this summer? Any kind of celebratory stuff?
Yeah, I think we're going to try to plan something. We do have Bockfest and Oktoberfest every year, so okay. We're looking at doing our Oktoberfest, I think, on the, 22nd or
23rd
of
September.
Of September, so...
When it should be, right?
Yeah, yep, exactly. So we did it last year in October, and we got very lucky. It was a beautiful day,
mm-hmm.
but the weekend prior and the weekend on the other side were not so good. So we got very lucky on it, but we pulled it off. So this year, we're not going to take that chance.
And if people want to find out more about you guys, I know you guys are on Facebook.
Yep, we have a Facebook page. Like us on Facebook, and so you get all the notifications and everything that's going on. on that. It's very active. We have our food trucks schedule. We actually do every year or every week we do a feature beer, which we've marked down to $4 a pint. And so we take whatever beer and throw it out to say, you know, here's our feature beer for the week. Mm-hmm. And you can get it for $4 a pint. And then okay. rest of the beers, you know, are there. And then we also put, you know, new beers that are coming on tap. Or if a beer runs out, you know, we'll put that on there. And then we'll put, you know, when it comes back, we'll put that information on there so people know, you know, when they're coming down what they're going to find.
Do you guys have a list? So we, to back up just a little bit, you're in a lot of other, you know, bars and stuff in southern Minnesota. Is that on your site? Do you have the listed where you can
find it? No, I don't. And that's something that I talked to my wife about, too. And I think we're going to get a list compiled and get that on there so people can see.
Okay. And I'm sure using Untappd, people probably can figure it out.
Yeah, probably.
People checking in all the time, I'm sure. And one last question. I meant to ask this right at the top. Can you explain the name, Euphoric? You got the letter U, the number 4, the letter I, the letter C. Does it take people a while to figure out what you're saying and what's the reasoning behind the name?
And we get quite a few people that come in and they go, what is U4IC? And then I look at them and smile and say, Euphoric. Oh, my gosh.
No, why? It makes sense.
I see it now. You know, it's like
I'm an IT, ID 10T error. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. So it's kind of one of those things where I used to spend a lot of time on the road, and I'd love when I ran across license plates that were, you know, the vanity plates and mm-hmm. stuff. And then usually there's messages on there or something. You got, for me, it was kind of a game just to try to figure out what the plate said and stuff. And I thought, well, that's pretty clever. You know, sometimes you see that stuff. So Euphoric came from basically off my wife when when I was home brewing and stuff. My wife could tell, you know, this is like my hobby, brewing. I think it was basically one of my only hobbies besides drinking the beer. But
they're complimentary.
So, yeah. So I'd be getting ready to brew usually the day before, getting everything ready and stuff. And my wife made the comment to me that I can tell when you're brewing. You can tell because your mood changes and you're like euphoric. You know, you're like in your happy place and everything. And so that kind of stuck with me all this time. And then we were looking for a name for the brewery. And then I said, well, it's got to be Euphoric Brewing. And then I thought, I don't like the word E-U-P-H-O-R-I-C. It just seems so long and big and awkward.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So I thought, well, if it were a license plate, what would it look like? So then, U4IC. There we go. So
that's kind of fun. That's a good story. I'm glad you shared that. It's a good thing she didn't say Glad or something, right? Glad Brewing doesn't have the same ring to it, right? Well, yeah, Jeff,
not really.
Jeff, we've had a few interesting what the brewery name could have been.
Yeah. Pond Brewing's probably my favorite still.
Yeah.
Pond beer. But Jeff, Kurt, Dave, appreciate you guys taking trek over here from way over yonder off of 169. It's a short drive. If you're listening, go check them out. Good beer, good guys. Thanks for coming in, guys.
Well, thanks for having us.
Yes, thank you for everything.
Cheers.
Cheers.
And now, time for the news. It's a new day in Minnesota. By the time we next chat with you, you will be legally allowed to buy alcohol from a liquor store on a Sunday. We here at On Tap with Corey and Ira hope you exercise your new right and support your local establishments on their first day of Sunday business. Our friends at Firehouse Liquor will be open on Sunday, July 2nd, from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. They plan to take off the balance of Sundays through Labor Day weekend and then be open on Sundays after that. But people have done this. You can still buy beer on Sunday at Don's Corner Bar and L&M Bar and Grill since they have an off-sale license. The Northfield Municipal Liquor Store will be open as well and plans to be open every Sunday from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Some good news out of Dundas. Chapel Brewing, the developing brewery near downtown Dundas, has received its new brewhouse and continues to march towards an opening later this summer or early fall. Spiral Brewery, a new operation coming out of Hastings, says it has hit some expected and unexpected bumps in the road. They're still working on the design phase of their plan and are finalizing those details. They're planning for a fall opening. Lastly, Tillian's Brewing Company in Cannon Falls recently received its brewhouse and is inching closer to being fully operational. They're still aiming for a summer or fall opening.
Hi, this is Brad the Beer Guy, and you know, we have clear weather out there today. So when I look through the glass and I see something clear and I'm thirsty for beer, I'm looking for a little Kristall. Now, Kristall is a style that came out of Munich in the 80s, and Kristall means clear or glass-like. So if you enjoy wheat beer, or let's suppose you've got somebody you want to turn on to wheat beer, but they're scared of cloudy beer, Kristall is perfect for you, because they filter out all of the trub, all of the yeast and the protein to get this nice, clear, golden wheat beer. And Susie Hocht at the G. Schneider & Sons Weiss House gave me the story that in the 80s in Germany, and specifically in Munich, they wanted to turn more tourists onto wheat beer. So they started filtering the wheat beer, as did all the other brewers, making this crystal, crystal clear, a refreshing wheat beer.
It's going to put a wrap on this show. We will be back in 335 hours on July 8th at 11 a.m. We've got Simeon Mark from Loon Liquors, our first non-brewery interview. So we're excited about that. We keep saying breweries and friends. We finally found a friend to come on the show. So Loon Liquors will be here July 8th at 11 o'clock on 95 The One. Want to give a quick shout out to Indeed for sending over some more beer. We appreciate them. They must be big fans of the show. They sent over a couple samples of the Shenanigans Summer Ale. And you might have an opportunity to have some of that today, won't you, Ira? Going up to
cities? I'm
going
to be heading up to Minneapolis. Dundas Dukes playing at Target Field, so it should be a little fun. Looking forward to getting up there and enjoying that. Maybe sneak a block or two over to Fulton. Enjoy what Minneapolis has to offer while watching my by far favorite sports team in the world play on a big stage.
That's going to be kind of cool. So people should get up there if they aren't aware of that. Can they get tickets today yet?
You might be able to. It's going to be a little tight. It's going to be pretty hard to get in there, especially this time of airing, but it will be a lot of fun.
Are you going to stick with Budweiser just because it's a Dukes game?
No. If I'm in Target Field, I'll at least be upgrading to a Summit or something.
Grain Belt.
Probably Summit or something else. But I'll be up there and definitely enjoying myself.
Pro tip for you, if you get there earlier enough, there's more breweries in Fulton right there. You got Inbound, you've got Modest, and you've got the Free House.
Yep.
All do their own beer, so take a little trip.
I'm going to try to get up there early or spend a little time afterward.
While you're trying to figure out your time, how you're going to spend that before and after the game, make time next week. Check out Northfield Outdoors. We'll be back in 2 weeks. In the meantime, look for us online, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You should know the handles by now. Find old shows on ontapnorfield.com or kymanradio.net, or find us on a number of podcast platforms like iTunes, Stitcher, Player FM. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Cheers.